You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13, verse 1, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 13, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite everybody in the world to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. We're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping, and then we have a fervent prayer meeting. Now, something new here. Holy Spirit just gave me a new thing. We had a new year. On the first Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m., beginning February 1st, which is a Wednesday, I will not be on the air, but I'll be here. I am going to give that whole time to a new segment called Lots of Love for You. Lots of Love for You. The Holy Spirit has led me to invite everybody the first Wednesday of each month. And I'm going to ask my twin friend Scott Mercer to stand on this side of the holy bench and I'll be on the other. We're going to have miracles, signs and wonders, healings, prayer for healings, emotional, physical, mental, and deliverance from demons, from drugs, from alcohol, from pornography, and from sugar, because sugar is the highest killer. Everybody will get a lot of time. You'll be invited to come up one by one. And then, if you don't have any of that ailment, you may come up and be prayed for individually as the Holy Spirit gives me utterance. So the first Wednesday of every month, 6 p.m., lots of love for you. Now, isn't that a nice Valentine present?
Amen.
Everybody in the world is also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, and Facebook, True Social Taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott versus the Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. As the curtain comes up on 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1, the nation of Israel is attacked by the big, bad Philistines. Now, King Saul is on the throne. He's had a little bit of a victory, but it was small. But this one is big. It's too big for him. But it's a big test which will determine his destiny. Now, you are called, if you're saved, and from time to time, you're attacked by the devil. I'm a living witness, aren't I?
Yep. Amen.
But you're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. But every now and then, God will let something that is too big for you. It's just too hard. It's a big, big test. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, man lives by every word of God. Man lives by every word of God. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 4. So when the enemy comes against you, little or big, man lives by the word of God.
Verse 1. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, verse 2. Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, wherewith 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin.
Jonathan is King Saul's very young son. He's a mighty warrior. But Jonathan is also a man of God, great integrity.
And the rest of the people, he sent every man to his tent.
Saul's got 2,000 warriors for himself, and Jonathan's got 1,000. And he sends everybody else out. That's not a very large army, is it, for a big army coming against you? Now, when the enemy comes against you, and it's too much and too big, ask the Father to bring to you the real prayer warriors. Many people say, I pray. We're talking about prayer warriors who can fight the enemy and get them out.
Verse 3. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba.
Jonathan, with $1,000, gets a victory.
And the Philistines heard of it.
1,000 soldiers, okay. Now, the Philistines aren't going to be happy about that.
And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the lands, saying, let the Hebrews hear.
In Bible times, the trumpet is a silver trumpet called a shofar. And there were three different times that they would blow it. And it means action. When the children of Israel were going through the wilderness toward the promised land, when it's time for the tribes to move out, all 12 tribes, they would blow the silver trumpet. And that was time to move. But they would not move until the Ark of the Covenant with the Word of God was in it. When the enemy comes against you, move toward the Word of God. The second silver trumpet would blow when they would call for the elders to pray. When the enemy comes, pray the Word of God. Move toward the Word of God, pray the Word of God. And the third shofar silver trumpet was blown when it's time to fight. Move toward the Word, pray the Word, and fight with the Word.
Amen.
Man lives by every word of God.
Verse 4. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines.
Saul didn't do it, Jonathan did. Stay humble.
And that Israel also had an abomination to the Philistines.
An abomination means that the Philistines despise Israel, and Israel despised them. Now, when the enemy comes upon you, you who are called, it's all right to hate the devil. He's your enemy. It's also all right to hate demons, because like the devil, they come to steal, kill, destroy. But it's not all right to hate the one in whom the demon is. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but you'll throw that demon out.
Amen.
Man lives by every word of God. How do you do it? In his word, in his name.
Amen.
He told you to cast out the demons. Anybody know how to do that yet?
Yeah.
And the people were called together after Saul at Gilgal.
If you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 8, the prophet Samuel said, Saul, you go to Gilgal and you wait 7 days. Wait on me. Don't do a thing until I get there. And when I get there, I'm going to offer sacrifices to God and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to entreat God's word for you. Now, the law there was the law of Moses, Mosaic law, God's law, that only the prophet could offer the sacrifice. Only the prophet could pray. If the king did it, it was breaking God's law. What will Saul do?
Verse 5. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people which as the sand upon the seashore in multitude.
Wow.
And they came up and pitched at Michmash eastward of Beth Aven.
Beth in Hebrew is house. Aven is empty. If you notice on my door there, trumpet of truth, there's a Beth El. That's house of God. And God is the word. Now, when the enemy comes against you, you who are called, you must be filled with the word of God. If you have no word, you have no victory. Now, when you first got saved, you didn't have any word. Somebody told you, and the Holy Spirit convicted you, that God's Son, Jesus, is Emmanuel, God with us, that he came down here, took a body, died in your stead, shed his blood for your sins, and arose from the dead. So you confessed your sins, you repented, and you believed in Jesus, but you did not know any word. Now, the Bible says that we are to be conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus, who is the Word. It says we go from glory to glory to glory, level, level, level. Now, after a while, God advanced you and told you to go to the next grade. And so you got there and you said, wait a minute, I don't understand this word. And yet, the Bible said it. You're uncomfortable and you want to go back to the empty milk place. A little boy had just graduated from kindergarten and he went to his first day at school, first grade. He came home and he said, Mom and Dad, I'm not going back there. I'm going back to kindergarten. Your desire will not to be to stay with that word. But if you will stay with the word, you'll be comfortable because we go from level to level to level. And you want to stay with that word. And then you're going to get another word and you're going to be uncomfortable. But man lives by every word of God.
Amen. Verse 6. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed.
I should think so. A lot of crowd there. Wow.
Then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. Verse 7.
Now when the enemy comes upon you, don't run and hide. Proverbs 18 says, the name of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous went into it and is safe. What is his name? Revelation 19, 13. His name is called the Word of God. The tendency is when you're called and there's a great attack, you'll say, I won't go there. I'm going to hide away. I cover my head over. No. Run to his name and you're safe. His name is called the Word of God. This is a time for you to stand and fight and put on the gospel armor of Ephesians 6, 8. And having done all, you stand. You have your loins girt with truth. Your feet with the truth. The feet shall be the preparation of truth. You have the shield of faith which protects you from all the fiery darts of the enemy. The breastplate of righteousness. The helmet of salvation. The word of God, which is more powerful than a two-edged sword. Amen. And prayer in the Holy Spirit. You don't run and hide. You stand and fight.
Amen.
For man lives by every word of God.
Amen.
And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead.
They went AWOL, draft dodgers, out of the land. When America was in war in Vietnam, a lot of the Americans didn't want to go to war, so they went over to Canada. They were draft dodgers. Now, when the enemy comes against you, I'm as strong like a tsunami flood there. Don't be a word dodger. That is not the time for you to run somewhere else so you'll feel good. Mm-hmm. Run somewhere else so they'll make you feel important. Someone else where you can hide. Mm-hmm. This is a time to be in the Word. The Word is a wall. God is the wall, Ezekiel.
Yeah. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling.
Saul was not a great leader. When the enemy comes against you, if you don't have a strong leader in the Word, filled with the Holy Spirit, and if that leader, if you do not see that that leader has overcome, you will be afraid. Make sure wherever you go to church, the leader has died a million times and overcome because they're strong in the Word. Man lives by every word of God and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, trembling, they were afraid. Now, the temptation when the enemy comes against you is to be afraid. Anybody on the sound of my voice afraid?
No.
Of course you are. The world's afraid.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not the time to be afraid. Man does not live by fear. Fear is a demon. God says, go by the word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given you a spirit of fear. That's a demon. But of power, of love, of a sound mind. Everybody say, I have power.
I have power.
I have love.
I have love.
A sound mind.
I have sound mind.
That lives by every word of God.
Verse
8. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed.
Now, right now, he's obeying. Samuel said, wait there 7 days. Now, obedience brings blessings, but disobedience brings cursing. God had given Samuel a word. What the word tells you to do, if you obey, you'll be blessed. If you usurp the word and say, I'll do that, but I'm not doing that, you're under a curse. Man lives by every word of God and lives successfully in Christ.
But Samuel came not to Gilgal.
Okay, a little delay there. This is God. When you're called of God and he tells you what you're to do, and you don't know how to move that mountain, your tendency there is to take things into your own hand. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It is a test to see if you're going to trust and see if you're going to obey. It's just a test. But if you start moving in your own natural way, I'll do it this way, you're under a curse and you're not going to be blessed. Man lives by every word of God. Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience to the word brings cursing. Everybody want to be blessed? Yes.
While the people were scattered from him.
A lot of people ran away. They were scared. Now, when you're called of God and you actually live every moment by the word of God, a lot of people in the church are going to run from you because they don't want that much word. They just want to stay in their comfort zone. The word goes from level to level, from glory to glory. We are being conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. And John's epistle said, we stand before him, we'll have to be like he is. But because people don't understand the word, they will go hither, thither, and yon. Don't worry about it. Jesus says they went out from us because they were not of us. And I've learned something. Release is magnetic and draws to you your own. Let them go, pray them, for them, bless them. If they come back to their senses in Christ, they'll come back. If not, they were never yours anyway.
Fine. As Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering.
Now, doesn't that sound nice? No, he has just usurped God's word. Remember, the commandment was you had to wait for the prophet. There are some people know how to pray and some don't. So only the person who prays in the spirit, which is God praying through you, should be praying at a time like this. He broke the law. Now, what he did there was usurp the word of God. Now, when the enemy is coming against you, if you decide there's a delay, it's not enough, the body says this, the family says this, the banker says this, the doctor says this, if you usurp the word of God, which has your solution, you're not obeying God. Obedience brings blessings, disobedience brings cursings. You can't do it your way. You must do it God's way. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the word, and man lives by every word of God.
Verse 10, and it came to pass, as soon as he made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came.
Delay does not mean denial. God has a way of letting an anointed person know what's going on with you. Many times the Holy Spirit will tell you, stop everything right now. You need to pray. Sometimes he'll stop me and I'll pray for one of you, some of you in here, one solid hour. Sometimes he'll call out a name I've never heard before. You need to be alert to that because God knows what you need and he'll put it on someone who's an open vessel, who's anointed with the Holy Spirit and will have that discernment to pray for you. Mm-hmm. Samuel knew.
And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him.
He said, Shalom, peace.
Verse 11, and Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed.
Now, he's going to blame Samuel. when the enemy comes upon you and it's too big, you don't understand this level of the word, you're going to want to blame somebody else. My parents said this. That preacher said this. She said this. He said this. I don't understand this. You're going to blame someone else for not going from glory to glory. Careful.
Well, now the Philistines were gathered together at Michmash, verse 12. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me in Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord.
I have not yet prayed. Prayer's a good thing, but it was the prophet who was supposed to pray.
I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering.
Now, doesn't that sound holy? He's proud, proud. He's a king. He took it into his own hand. He's covering it over with humility. Pride goes before a fall. When the enemy comes in, stay humble, and God will exalt you in due time. Man lives by every word of God.
Verse 13, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God.
You've not kept the word. You usurped the word. You said, I don't want that word. I want this word, but not that one.
Which he commanded thee. For now will the Lord thy God have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever.
Now, if Saul had obeyed, he disobeyed, it was a test. The seed line of the throne would have been in his family. His son Jonathan would have been the next king. But now it's going to stop there. He's the first king in his family, and he's the last king in his family.
Verse 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue.
That doesn't mean that day is going to stop being king, but it means that his sons would not be the king. God's going to take the kingdom to someone else.
The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart.
God is looking for someone who's after God's heart. There's not anything of you in there. The Bible says God's eyes go to and fro over the face of the earth, looking for someone in whom he can be strong. When the enemy comes up against you, if you've only got one little pocket of you open to the Holy Spirit, you can't be used. You have to surrender. You have to die to yourself. This is why then the Holy Spirit can jump in you, and when the Holy Spirit needs all nine gifts, they can all operate at the time, and the Holy Spirit will divide them severally as he will, and the fruits will be there. That is not egotistical. Every Christian should be so open that all nine gifts are working whenever the Holy Spirit needs you, you're bearing fruit. But you see, the heart is closed. I'll have a little bit, but not all. All to Jesus you surrender. Man lives by every word of God.
Amen. Amen. Now the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee.
Now this will be young David. He's going to be king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. David will keep every word of God. Wow.
Verse 15, and Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men.
Six in biblical numerics is a number of depraved mankind. He's kind of desperate then. Now you're called and the enemy comes upon you. Don't look to man. Do not go hither, thither, and yon. What do you think? I mean, do you think that pastor did it right? Do you think my family did it? You think my boss did it right? What do you think about the banker? Mm-mm. Stay with the word of God. Only call those people who are anointed, filled with the word of God, and will pray for you in the Holy Spirit. Make sure you got the right prayer warriors. The wrong prayer warriors will never cover your back. Man lives by every word of God. They must know how to pray the word of God if they don't have Holy Spirit. And everybody called needs one of those. Wow. Don't we need those?
Verse 16. And Saul and Jonathan his son and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin.
Now this was wise. Instead of running somewhere else, Saul, his son Jonathan, and those few men, they stay right there in their home. It's fortified. Because the Philistines are about to come up to them, and they're going to try to lure them out so they can attack them. No matter how big and bad and impossible and hard and painful it is, stay in the Word. Your tendency is going to panic. Your tendency is going to be call everybody in town to talk about that thing. Stay in the Word. The Word is your wall. The flower fadeth, the grass withereth, but the Word of God endures forever. Amen. Those who endure are in the Word of God endure forever.
Amen.
Man lives by every word of God.
Yes.
But the Philistines encamped at Michmash. Verse 17. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines.
Here they come.
In three companies.
Now they're coming in three companies. What they're going to try to do is to lure Saul and Jonathan out there so they can attack them. They're in a fortified place. The Word is a high tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Remember Proverbs 18? And they're safe there. They're going to try to lure you out. Now, three in biblical numerics is maximum. So the maximum thing the enemy can do to you to keep you from your purpose and calling, he's going to cull it, and he's going to come out in three ways against you. He's going to cover you all the way. The enemy's going to attack you every way he can. But you have a three that's more maximum than the enemy's three maximum. You have the Father, Yahweh. You have the Son, Yeshua, Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit, Holy Ruach, Elohim. Your three is bigger than their three.
Amen.
Amen. One company turned in the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Shiloh.
Now that's on the northeast.
And another company turned the way to Bethron.
That's the west.
And another company turned the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zeboam toward the wilderness. Verse 9.
Now that is the desert. What they thought was that Saul and Jonathan would see one of those and say, "Ooh, I'm going to run to the west," or "I'm going to run to the desert." And then they would have them. When you're called, the enemy comes in like a flood, like a tsunami. You're going to want to run over there because I feel better there. You're going to run over there because I don't want to be what God wants me to be. I just want to cover. I want to stay in my baby zone. You're going to run over there because it makes you feel like a big shot. And any way you run away from the Word of God, you're defeated.
Amen.
Man lives by every word of God.
Amen.
Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel.
Now a smith would be a weapon maker. They didn't have any kind of a smith there.
But the Philistines said, "Lest the Hebrews make themselves swords or spears."
And the Philistines knew that. They had no weapons of war. What happened? While Samuel was a judge, they didn't have any wars because he did it right and God protected them. They got so comfortable in their comfort zone, you know, that comfort zone that doesn't nudge you any bit. And so they didn't make any weapons. And the Philistines knew that. Before the battle starts, have your weapons sharpened. Your weapons to defeat all the enemy. Because this is not a fleshly battle. This is a spiritual battle. We fight with principalities and powers and demonic forces in other people, in the world, in the government. The Word of God is more powerful than a two-edged sword. Prayer by the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit knows how to pray that enemy away in his language, in his anointing. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You have the Word, you have prayer, and you have the Holy Spirit. But you don't wait until the enemy attacks because you might not find the prophet. You don't know what scripture it is. I mean, you need it right then. So now is the time to get your weapons ready. Now the enemy knows whether you've got your weapons. You see, the Holy Spirit if you had that baptism, you would be anointed. The anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing on a person means Jesus paints himself on you. And I'm like, Jesus, see, the sweetest name I know. And when the enemy sees the anointing on you, he thinks that's Jesus, and he runs for his life. Man lives by every word of God. The enemy also knows whether you're really believing that word, it is written in Jesus' name in the word, or whether you're saying your words, get away, devil. No. I have power, all the power of the enemy. You must say the word, not your words. See, man lives by every word of God.
Amen.
Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Verse 20. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his shear.
That's his plow.
And his coulter.
That's a sharp point on the plow.
And his axe.
Pickaxe.
And his mattocks. Verse 20.
Okay. Before this battle began, those Israelites would go to the Philistines and get them to sharpen their weapons for them. That was before the battle. Of course, they're not doing that now. Now, when the enemy comes upon you, don't go hither, thither, and yon to the enemy for your help. A lot of times you'll say, well, I don't want to hear the word. Now, let me go over here where I have to hear a fairy tale, whether it entertain me or whether I... What does my doctor say? What does the banker say? In other words, going there. In other words, what's going to happen then that you're going to disobey?
One. Yet they had a file for the mattocks.
Now they had one little file there.
And for the coulters, and for the forks, and for the axes, and to sharpen the goads.
They did have some farming tools. They had some farming tools. Okay. Now, man lives by every word of God. Your weapons are spiritual. The word of God, prayer, and the Holy Spirit. But there's one more you have. Seed. The word is a seed. Genesis 8:22 says, seed, give it time, a harvest. Every day of your life, plant the word of God in good ground, which is your heart, your spirit. The spirit of you feeds on the word of God. And if you plant every day, you're going to have the harvest.
Amen. Yeah.
Man lives by every word of God. But you can't plant one day, a little devotional book, somebody said, the word of God, memorize it, get it in your spirit. And then when you need it, boom, you've got the harvest.
Amen.
You've got the weapon. Man lives by every word of God.
Amen.
The word is more powerful than a two-edged sword. It cuts the devil's head off.
Yes.
It is written in Jesus' name, word.
Verse 22. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan.
None of those Israelites had a weapon. How sad for the body of Christ. We're on the threshold of the Antichrist. The only way you're going to know he's not Jesus is because he'll look like him, act like him, peace, safety, cause, craft, to prosper. It's starting. It's just you got your weapon of the word. You'll be deceived, but if you have the word, man lives by every word of God. The whole world will have no weapon, and half the body of Christ will have no weapon, no word. Matthew 25, the five foolish virgins. Man lives by every word of God.
But with Saul and Jonathan his son was there found.
Now two people had a weapon, King Saul and Jonathan. Well, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. Two is better than one. But why not all of you? Why don't all of you have the weapon? And every day in the little battles and the big battles, you'll have the victory because man lives by every word of God.
Amen.
Jesus is the word. The Bible is the word in print.
Amen.
Don't you want to live?
Yes. Amen.
23. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash.
Now, there were two cliffs there, and there was a passage between it. Normally, Jonathan and Saul, his little army, would go there and go out to fight the enemy. But when we got to the passage between the two cliffs, the Philistines were there blocking their way. You're called of God, and suddenly everything's blocked. The job, the business, the relationship, the money, whatever it is, your body. Well, man lives by every word of God. It is written in Jesus' name. Jesus says in Matthew 11 and Mark 11, he says, if you believe in your heart that what you say shall come to pass, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And if you doubt it, don't, if you believe it, don't doubt, it will move. So you're called right now. Many of you, I can't go any further. I'm blocked. Say to the mountain, death and life to the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. Amen. And man lives by every word of God. Amen. I pray you are blessed. Amen. It's time now to introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. Raised up after that. That was a good word.
Okay. You live by the word, don't you?
Yeah.
David left his stuff in the car. Does he could put his stuff in the bag? What is Scott's stuff?
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5.
Absolutely. Amen. Perfect. Great Scott. I mean, the Holy Spirit's leading you. Thank you very much, great Scott. Amen. Before I pray for the sick, now the most important thing is to be saved. Jesus is coming again, and it's later than you think. The Antichrist comes first. Won't you be saved? Pray this prayer with me all over the world and mean it, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I
believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
And put me where you want me in the church.
And put me where you want me in the church.
I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and Savior.
I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
And use me to win many souls to Jesus.
And use me to win many souls to Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Now, for those who are in cyberspace, the book of Romans says, with the mouth, there it is, confession is made to salvation, death and life to the power of the tongue. You need to tell a lot of people. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, my announcer, Scott, will give you my telephone number, and I invite you to call. That's my voicemail. When I get it, I'll pray for you. I'll welcome to the family of God. Now, you also may email me, and I'll give you that in a moment. For every new Christian, get yourself a Bible, Old Testament and New. I suggest the King James because the only version that you can trace almost every word back to the original way God said it, Hebrew, Chaldee, Greek, etc., Syriac, and all that, now Aramaic. As I get that, read it every day, not just one little verse, and start memorizing. And then you may pray now. You want to pray every day. Get a place in your home, your prayer place, and pray the Father every day. And you may call him Father now. He's your Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. And ask him to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When you first get saved, you're a child, you're a newborn baby. But as you grow from glory to glory to glory, from level to level, then you're the son of God. Hallelujah. That means you mature, and now you can do some good. Okay. Now find a church to go where they teach the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line. I would have a powerful prayer meeting on Wednesdays, Sundays, Saturdays, Wednesdays. Go every time the door opens, and be faithful there, and God will bless you. Now, my email is shari.medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com. G is for God. Now for healing. In Malachi chapter 4, I often pray this scripture when I pray for you to be when you're sick. It says, to those who fear the Lord, that means love him and reverence him, his word. So you'd have to love the word. Man, there's every word of God. It says, shall the Son of Righteous arise with healing in his wings. Now, the Son of Righteous is the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Wings means laser beams of light. Now, in Romans chapter 8, it says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. Now, if you're saved, you fear the Lord, the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings in you. And it says the Holy Spirit will quicken your mortal body. Quickening makes alive and heals. So now in the name of Jesus, all of you who are saved, the Holy Spirit inside of you, we ask the Son of Righteousness in Jesus' name, arise with healing in your wings. Go forth there. And the power that raised Jesus from the dead, cancel cancer, cancel melanoma, cancel ulcers, cancel diabetes, cancel leukemia, cancel allergies, cancel COVID, cancel Omicron, cancel viruses, cancel flu, cancel death in Jesus' mighty name, cancel arthritis, cancel high blood pressure, cancel all the sickness. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Arise, take up your bed and walk in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Whew, I got mine. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, if you ever get it through your head. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's closer to you than hands are breathing. And he's the one that sent the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit. He said, it's better that I go away, that you have the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. And no greater love is this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. I love you too. I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
Brevard's home
the
for
Trumpet
the very best
of
in contemporary
truth.
Christian music, 91.5 FM. WMIE.
You alone walk that road, all for love. The road to Calvary, where death will lose its sting, where chains are broken free. Greater love has no one than this, that you would give your life, the perfect sacrifice, to wash our sin away. Your grace amazes me. Your grace amazes me. Where else
Your name is my first defense. And oh, your name is my last amen. It carries me when I cannot stand. It reaches me when I reach the end. When the whole world shakes, Jesus, your name. name is my greatest strength. It fights for me and it won't relent. I cast my cares, every burden fall. For there's one name that can bear them all.
Shaken by the truth that you are God. No deed can bring you pleasure or word and measure to who you are. I lift my heart in worship, taken by the truth.
Less than love without.
against the wall. Make kingdoms fall and rulers crawl before your throne. Yeah. Bless them, Lord, with all that's in me. Bless them.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
Man, I want to tell y'all something, man. Man, I'm not going to let these material things get in my way, y'all. I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands. Cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix. And I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me. Though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast for the eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus.
I don't know.